Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
We're in a current series right now. It's called Joy in Context. Now, what's going on here is this, is that we're walking chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the book of Philippians, and the bigger idea is the idea of rejoicing. Like we learned a little while ago, rejoice in the Lord, amen? That's it. And so there's a pull to go, man, just be stoked, to be excited about who Jesus is and what he has done. And as we walk through this, we're just encouraged, hopefully. Sometimes exhorted, sometimes encouraged, sometimes just, man, just rejoice. Have you ever heard of the stereotype of the high school quarterback, prom king, living in the past? He lets his past success remind him of his current failures. You see it in movies all the time. You may know someone like that, or maybe you're that guy. Well, Mike Robinson was this guy. He almost made it to the big leagues. His entire life, he dreamed of playing professional baseball. And he made it. He made it. He became a catcher for the LA Angels. For the Angels. But as fast as the dream was realized, he lost it. He told me of the following days lived in bitterness and anger. And then by the grace of God, in his words, not mine, a hippie meets up with him in a 7-Eleven in the middle of L.A. Now, you got to realize, this guy was like your stereotypical athlete. And he was bitter and angry. He carried a bat in his car for all things that might go down. Sometimes he used it. He was just that guy. And then a hippie comes up to him in a 7-Eleven. Interesting. He hands him a pamphlet called The Four Spiritual Laws. Those four spiritual laws are this, that God created you and has a purpose and plan for your life. But because of sin, you've been separated from God and that purpose. But Jesus Christ comes and lives and dies and rises for you, bridging that unreachable gap between you and God. And if you believe, then God will save you and help you to live into your purpose again. Simple message. And in that 7-Eleven, probably buying a chili dog and a soda, he prayed the sinner's prayer listed in the back of that pamphlet. And his life was completely changed. He prayed to receive Jesus, and soon, over time, fairly quickly, he had a new dream. See, he no longer lived in that past failure existence that causes bitterness and anger. You see, this was the man who mentored me and discipled me. The same guy who, when we had a near-death experience with one of these, this is a sugarcane truck, and found only in Maui, because at the time I was living in Maui, found only in Maui the 14-foot-tall, 80-foot-long, they call him a behemoth, came out of the sugarcane fields, overshot the shoulder, and came into our lane, and we were head-to-head with this thing, and I think you all know we're going to lose in this battle. And we just moved around it. And then afterwards, there's that moment of silence of like, we just almost died. I mean, near death. That would have been, we would have been goners. And in that moment of silence, he broke it with, "You can't scare me with heaven." He said it multiple times. And at the time, I thought it was really dorky. But man, what a truth. That this guy who lived in bitterness and anger and frustration got a new dream, a new vision, so much so that his immediate response when he almost died was just like, "Ain't no thing, you can't scare me with heaven." His new dream was this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is our context of our text this morning. And this is, as we talked about last week, the hope for the good guy. You see, last week, the Apostle Paul told the church in Philippi to take no confidence in your works, but in Christ's work. So, and then he goes through and he said, Paul was like, you want to boast in the flesh? Let's do this. And then he lists his accolades of all the things that he could, if we're going to go there, if we're going to boast in accomplishments, I'm going to surpass all you guys. But then he goes on to say, these things are like dog poop, the expression we used last week, compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Relying on my works to find worth, well, it stinks. Let me say that again. Relying on my works to find worth, identity, purpose, well, it stinks. And what we learned last week, our hope, our identity, and our future is in Christ and his work. Amen? And spiritual maturity, then, is becoming not more like Saul before Christ, but more like Paul, becoming more and more and more reliant of Christ, not self-reliant. Because that's the ideal, right? Like, in all of our human experiences, I shouldn't say all, but many of our human experiences, it's kind of like when I learned how to do tile work. I learned how to do tile work at a young age. My uncle started me off at like age 17. I started learning the trade. Now the goal of an apprentice is to move on and become a journeyman and become less reliant on his wisdom and help, right? So that I kind of become my own autonomous journeyman, know how to set tile on my own. But when it comes to Christ, it's an upside down reversal. Because we start off self-reliant, thinking somehow it's all about us. And the more and more and more we come to know Christ, we realize the gap is ever increasing between our sinfulness and his holiness. But what gets bigger and bigger and bigger is the cross of Christ. And it begins to still continually fill that gap. Are you guys with me? Spiritual maturity, then, is becoming more reliant of Christ, not self-reliant. And today, my main point is strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. Strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. Everybody say that with me. Strive. Christ is alive. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, we're reading down to 16. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we need your spirit to come and speak to me and through me, to your people, to your glory and our joy. Would you help us to be more mature, more like you, more walking in step with who you are and what you've done? The only way that can happen is by your spirit. And so I submit... humbly submit this time. And I pray that your power and presence would be with us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. All right. Strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. Here are my 4 points this morning. Number one, you're not there yet. Number two, let it go. Number three, press on. Number four, God's got this, so get it. God's got this, so get it. Number one, you're not there yet. Now, Paul, interestingly enough, states this twice. He says this in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. And then verse 13, again, he repeats it. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Now, it begs the question, what has he not obtained or made his own? Now, the obvious reference is the resurrection stated in verse 11. But he's also speaking to the idea of spiritual maturity, which is the greater context of this chapter. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So he is speaking that it's basically telling the Philippians, hey, I haven't been resurrected yet. Duh, right? But in the context, he's saying that hasn't happened, nor have I come to the fullness of maturity. Because that word perfect and that word, when it talks about, I do not consider that I've made it my own or grasped it. He's talking about the idea of becoming whole. In other words, he's saying, I have not arrived. I'm not there yet, which is good news for us. Kent Hughes says this, the reality is, the more we come to know Christ, the more we will come to sense our need to grow. We have not arrived. You are not there yet. Now, why am I saying this? Well, because Paul says it. And by example, we see this. But it's also good news for us. Who feels the pressure to arrive? To be whole? Like I think a few of us anyway have this, like, I really want to be more mature in Christ. Like, I feel like I should have this sin overcome by now. I feel like I should be, like, done with this kind of low-level living. I've been walking as a Christian for years now. Like, why can't I? And I just want to remind you that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is in the same boat. It's like, you're not there yet, and that's okay. I brought up the example recently. I taught actually this at a chapel over at Coastline. And I mentioned the example of, like, when a baby is learning to walk, do we, like, we're just now getting, like, just starting to walk. And then he just takes a step and then he falls. And as parents, do we go, get it together. Gosh, man, you're a human, bro. Like, figure it out. Stand up on your own. I'm not even going to help. Like, do we do that? Hopefully not. If that's you, we need to call CPS. And so, but man, that one step, that first step, do we not as parents just freak out over that one step? Oh, so much more how God feels about us. As a good, good father, he celebrates the one step towards spiritual maturity. So give yourself grace. Like, give yourself grace time and time again. I mean, the fact is that you're not there yet. And learning to walk step by step, we are called to, as Paul does, celebrate the small steps, not the fall. See, we won't make perfection or wholeness this side of heaven. And these two statements fly right in the face of these and are huge to dismantle the prosperity gospel theology that basically says if you just have enough faith, you will never get sick, nothing goes wrong, you'll have plenty of money, you're good. You will always have joy, you will always have patience, you will all, like, get it? And there's many that kind of hold to this philosophy, but this is just like, really? Do you honestly think you're more mature than the Apostle Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament and planted churches, and the reason why we exist as a church is because of him? You've attained higher than him? Because he would say, I'm not there yet. And he uses words like, I'm anxious for the church. And if you really are just, like, still not sure, read Romans 7 of his own personal struggle that he recognized the sin that dwelt within him. You see, that struggle won't be gone this side of heaven because we will always have a residue of sin over our lives. Even though we've been set free from it, we're walking into, the call to is to walk into already but not yet. In other words, I already am seen righteous through the lens of God, through Jesus Christ and his righteousness that he declared over me based on my faith that he lived and died and rose for me. But I'm not there yet. My mind is catching up and getting into this reality. We won't make perfection or wholeness this side of heaven. So if we'll never make it, maybe we shouldn't try. You ever feel that way? Yeah. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no reason to try. But he did. And I say that gently. Like Jesus rose from the dead. He saved you and me. And he's alive now, beckoning us to walk, to run towards the upward call of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if you've been in that spot, it's just like, what's the point? Like, it just seems like whether it be our spouse or whether it be ourselves personally or whether it be a friend or whether it be who here has been hurt in church? Raise of hands. Most of you. For those of you that didn't, honesty is on your way. And so you'll get there. Because the bottom line is that we're a bunch of sinners under the same roof, trying and striving to do life together. You're going to get hurt. And it's just like, especially after COVID, like I think we all kind of reverted back to adolescence and just like, I don't want to. I just don't want to do it anymore. But man, may we not forget that Jesus rose from the dead. That he's alive right now at the right hand of God, praying for us. Praying that we would what? That we would walk and take steps into spiritual maturity, slowly but surely learning to walk and learning to then take those and learning going into that jogger's walk that you see like this and then turning that into a run and slowly running towards what? Towards complete and utter reliance on Christ. To run. Why? For it is in these efforts that we come to know him more and more in the power of his resurrection. Let me say that again. It is in these efforts as we strive to live out my calling and try to walk like Christ. And then it's like, okay, so it's less effort and more focus. Okay, I got to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that look like? And then you're kind of wrestling around. But then you realize that God has established work from the beginning of time for you to just simply walk in. And then you take that first step and you get and lit, like you get like empowered by the Holy Spirit. But then something happens and we trip and we fall. And it's just like, I mean, it just feels like the Christian life is like you trip and you fall and you just like, and then you just stay here. It's like, I don't want to get back up. I've done this 6 or 7 times. I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to stay here. Tell me when it starts to get awkward. A long time ago, right? Because the bottom line is, but that's what the Christian life oftentimes feels like. That we keep falling. But the Apostle Paul is encouraging us. He's just like, you're not there yet. Keep striving. It's okay that you're not there, but stand back up. We'll get more to that soon. So strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. Let us not forget our main point. Because Jesus rose from the dead, because he has overcome death, because your names are written in the book of life, because he has sent you his Holy Spirit, he has done it all for you. Therefore, strive. Number one, you're not there yet. Number two, let it go. I believe there is a dual context here. Paul says in verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, it's interesting. The one thing here is an emphatic and abrupt. Because it says in our context, as it's been translated, which is there's nothing wrong with the way it's been translated. It says, but one thing I do. But what's interesting is in the original Greek, it just says, but one thing. And what begs the question is like, man, what? In all of Paul's writing, if you understand the Greek and you've read through it, this is one of the only places in all of Paul's writing that it's just like an abrupt. There's like, Like, he always writes with a certain flow that comes with his education. But right here, he's just like, in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing. What does he say? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to those that are ahead. Now, the obvious context is Paul forgets his past successes. He testifies that the way he's calling us to live, in other words, he exemplifies by his own life, he's testifying, this is how I live, to take no stock in our works and our successes and how many churches I've planted and all the people I've seen saved. Like let that go, because that's not who you are. Because that's the other danger on the flip side of laying down, giving up, is running with so much success. Pretty soon we're just like, I'm kind of the man. I don't know if you noticed. And a spiritual pride begins to develop. I'm so faithful. I've been here for so long. Like, I got this down. And so the other side of it is that. So Paul is saying, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, the obvious context, his works. But the other, maybe not so obvious context, is failures. Paul mentions it in his accolades. If you look up at 3:6, he says, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And I think it's important for us, as that he just wrote that as he's writing it, it's important to know the context that the Apostle Paul literally oversaw and approved the stoning to death of Stephen. This is no easy way to die. These are large stones being thrown at a man until he's dead. And it says in Acts 7:58, they cast him out of the, speaking of Stephen, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saw, oversaw the murder of this godly man. And I would imagine, as he just wrote that in his accolade, and this being one of the only times in which he's abrupt, there's a possibility in this moment he's like thinking about the fact that he killed a brother. That he feels responsible for. But one thing, forgetting those things that lie behind. You see, whether it be our successes or failures, we're called to, in all regard, let go. To just let it go. So what are some things that you've done or things that have been done to you? Church, it's time to move on and to let it go. To not look back and look up to Christ. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me say it a little more simply. You are not defined. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, you ruined that whole moment. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. Let me say it more simply. I forgot what I was going to say. No, I'm just kidding. She's getting baptized in a little bit, so I can give her our time. You were not defined, everybody look up at me, this is important. You were not defined by the things that you have done, nor the things done to you. Whether it be success or failure. You are defined by the work of Christ. Church, receive that. You're not defined by your depression, you're not defined by your anxiety, you're not defined by all your successes and your financial securities. You're not defined by, on the other side of that, your mishaps, your tax issues. You're not defined by, like, you're just not defined by those things. As a Christian, you are defined by Christ and Christ alone. And he not only calls you righteous through the blood of Christ, he calls you loved. Go so far as to say, my beloved. Like, he calls you, like there's a divine romance that's going on there. that is just so overwhelming. And the bottom line is that we can stay and keep looking back like Lot's wife and the pillar of salt. And like that's a metaphor to the idea of don't look to God to save you. Look to God to define you. And man, oh, is it good. And we're reliant continually more and more as we grow. God starts to show these different closets and cul-de-sacs in our life. It's like, hey, you're taking identity in that. What? Me? Yeah, you. Hey, you know that thing that happened to you when you were 12? You know that thing you did when you were 16? Remember what you did when you were 18? List goes on. It's like, yeah, those things do affect me. I do find myself kind of acting in those ways because of that circumstance. God, what do I do? Like, what? I don't want to be this person anymore. You're not. Believe. Let me transform you and bring light into that darkness. And we're reliant. See how that surrender keeps working? And that work will be till the day we die. But here's the good news. It is a glorious work. It is a glorious work. It's time to move on, to let go, to not look back and look up to Christ, to know him, the power of his resurrection. It's time for us to strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. So number one, you're not there yet. Number two, let it go. Number three, press on. It says in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we're called to press on. The wording here takes us to an athletic competition where we're straining forward. That idea of like when there's like the ribbon is right here and it's all kind of a dead heat and everyone's running. That effort that they make to just reach to break through that ribbon first, that's the kind of effort we're called as Christians to walk into our calling. Who's in? Like, man. Like, that's the idea, that we're to strive to arrive for Christ because he rose from the dead. We're just like, we're learning to walk, and then we're learning to speed walk, and then we learn to run. Man, are you guys still with me? Am I alone up here? This is crazy stuff that we're called in the Christian life as our faith to just put all of our effort to press on. There's a story, who's seen Chariots of Fire? We're going to watch a clip from that movie up on the screen. And this isn't his Olympic trial. This is actually a part of what made him famous, though. It's one of the pre-races. Go ahead and play the video.
Get set. When you believe it, his head's not back yet. Come on, Eric!
Should we just end right there? You guys inspired yet? No, not yet. Because that's the whole idea, is that we're called to strive, to go after. But here's the crazy thing about that story, is that he fell during the race. And I think a lot of us feel that way. Do I need to lie down again and just stay there? Because that's what it feels like we do, that when we're in the race and we fall, we don't stand back up. We don't jump back in the race. We just kind of whine from the sidelines like, hey, did you see that guy hit me? Penalty, instead of like, no. I'm going to strive. I'm going to go after. I'm going to win the race. Man, to just reach in and go, I'm not done yet. You guys awake? Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous falls 7 times and then rises again. Jake, you got that slide? Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. You have the righteousness of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. He has given you all things you need for life and godliness. And it's time for us to not worry about the fact that we fell, but to rise back up again and again and again. And to not walk in that self-condemnation of just like, oh, I can't believe I fell again. It's like, no, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Like, how many times do we need to cling to that verse? Like, I have fallen, I blew it again. It's like, nah, stand back up. Why? Why would I stand back up? Because my call is to strive to arrive towards maturity, for Christ is alive. For Christ is alive. Number one, you're not there yet. Number two, let it go. Number three, press on. My last point this morning, God's got this, so get it. God's got this, so get it. Verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Now, if you take that understanding of just like, even in the idea of discipleship, that it's like, we exemplify that, we exhort towards that, but if they are God's, then they'll get it by God's grace. And hopefully some of you are getting it this morning. But what I love about this also is we see, look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Oh, no, I'm sorry, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And here's what's crazy, is that to make my own, the Greek word is to acquire with the implication of significant effort. So I think some of us could hear that or hear this whole sermon through, I just need to try harder. Like, I need to stand up. I need to strike. Yes, but don't lose sight of the fact of what it just said. I press on to make it my own. In other words, to acquire with the implication of significant effort. Because why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Christ Jesus has acquired you with significant effort. Is that not enough? That right there in that moment, that we're just like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. We're called as Christians to not forget that Jesus Christ has not left us alone, that with significant effort, he has acquired us. He has purchased us. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Church, Christ Jesus has done it all. He has strived with significant effort for you to call you his own. And today he's doing the same thing. He's chasing after you and encouraging you to walk as he walks. You can do it. Again, like that parent that's just like, man, I've had 4 kids. All 4 kids is the same thing. It was just like, come on, God, like you could, just one more step, just one more step. And there's that, you know, just like, oh, and they just kind of reach for that, your hand, because they know in your hand is safety. As children of God, we reach for God because his hand's right here and he's teaching us to walk like Christ walked. The upward call, the prize. Amen. If I could have the band come up. You're not there yet, which gives us freedom to understand that we can give ourselves grace, that we'll never arrive this side of heaven. That we need to let it go, those things that would bind us or hold us, our past successes or failures. And then our call is to press on towards the upward call of God. And when we fall, when we get frustrated, when we get hurt, when things don't go our way, last point, God's got this. So get back up and get it. Amen. Strive to arrive, for Christ is alive. And it's one of the things that we celebrate in communion. It's one of the things that the bread represents, his body broken, and the juice represents his blood spilled. Now we only have, because we have baptisms, we only have one song for you to gather communion and get it. Okay? Everybody with me? So if you want communion, you got to get it. As soon as I'm done praying, you guys can sprint. Now we just watched that running thing. That's what I want to see. Just kidding. But we're called to strive to arrive. And the bread and the juice, we're proclaiming that it was sufficient for us to have life. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'd ask that you wouldn't take communion, because this is a proclamation of that sufficiency. Okay? But if you're here and you are a Christian, man, remember, Christ is enough when you take communion. So again, get communion, take communion before this song ends. Now, here's the cool news, is we have just 3 baptisms this time, unless there's more. See, the table is excluded to those who don't believe. But don't see it as exclusion. See that as an invitation. You're invited to the table. And so you have one song to come up to me and talk about it before you can get baptized. So if you're here and you want to be baptized, that's not true. You could probably talk to Paul or Rick and we can figure it out. Or Dana. Or Rick. Now Rick will be singing. Okay, I'm done. But the bottom line is that you're invited to believe in Jesus. And all the way back to those 4 spiritual laws, you need to realize that God loves you and has a plan for your life. But your sin has separated you from that plan. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to bridge the gap between us and God so that we can have eternal life and life now. Have faith in Christ so that you may have eternal life and peace with God. Amen? Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Help us to worship. Help us to respond to your preached word. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to strive. That you would help us, Lord God, to stand back up when we've fallen, when we're lazy, when we're complacent, to put one foot in front of the other for the walk of faith, and simply that, your word is a light to our footstep, not our entire path. Lord, help us to just do one foot in front of the other and to walk and then run. And in that great and glorious day when you will receive us as your own, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.